Our study this morning comes from the book of Exodus and concerns God's gift of manna, which was sent from heaven for the purpose of feeding the host of Israel, yes, after they had left the bondage of Egypt. Now, we need to realize as we get into our study, and we'll want to spend several Lord's days for the purpose of really bringing out the importance of the gift of manna, as it was pointing to the greatest gift of all, that being Christ, the sacrificial Lamb of God. And so it is eternally important for us not only to study about the manna as a type of Christ, but also for us to be eaters of the teachings of Christ, because He is the bread of life. Now, as we begin our study, we'll notice during the wilderness wanderings, the Israelites were fed miraculously for 40 years, as they could not feed themselves by living off the land while traveling. So, as we get into our study, we would do well to take heed to what the inspired Apostle Paul wrote to the Church of Christ at Corinth concerning the Israelites who fell in the wilderness. Notice 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 6. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drink of that spiritual rock, capital R, that followed them, and that rock, capital R, was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were are examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So we'll want to begin our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE. Yes, preparing for eternity. And every one of us, that needs to be at the top of our list. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, yes, here in Martinsville. We study, yes, God's precious Word in our Bible classes. As we assemble together to worship God, we're striving to do so with a proper attitude. That would be in spirit, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern. That would be in truth. And you would be very much welcome to join in with us. And something else to mention, we always look forward to having Bible studies. Please let us know if you're interested in setting up a Bible study. And we're always glad to answer Bible questions you may have. Your comments, positive or negative, are appreciated. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151. And our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, before we get into our study in the book of Exodus, let me announce our upcoming gospel meeting. You are cordially invited to attend our gospel meeting with Brother Ronnie Whittemore of the Stop 11 Road Church of Christ here, yes, not here in Martinsville, but in Indianapolis. And our meeting is going through November the 11th. That would be Friday night, Saturday night, and then Sunday the 13th. Yes, and our times, 7 p.m. Friday and Saturday night, Sunday, 9:30 a.m., 10:30 a.m., and then a potluck lunch after the lunch at 1 o'clock. We'll assemble back upstairs and have our last sermon from Brother Ronnie, yes, at 1 p.m. And so we want to be sure that you make plans to attend our meeting, and we look forward to meeting you. If you wouldn't mind, mention that you are listening to our radio program. We would be most happy to hear that. So the theme of this gospel meeting, ships of the Bible. That should prove very interesting. One other thing I'll mention is before our gospel meeting begins, yes, in November, starting on the 6th, we'll begin the Stop 11 Road Church of Christ there in Indianapolis. Their lectureship will begin. And we'll have more to say about that, but it starts on the 5th and goes through Thursday the 10th. Now, let's get into our study this morning as we're looking into the book of Exodus. And hopefully our study will help us not only appreciate more of God's amazing grace and His special providential care for His children, but as members of the Church of Christ, for us to continue in obedient faith and be content and never complain or murmur as did the Israelites. So let's study together, as this sermon will deal primarily with the fact that God proves His people. So notice with me as we go back to Exodus chapter 14, and you see, in this chapter, the nation of Israel had crossed the Red Sea miraculously after the mighty hand of God parted the waters on both sides, and Pharaoh and his army were kept back. But after they had crossed safely by, then Pharaoh and his army were allowed to enter, and the waters came back together, and that was the end of Pharaoh and his army. Notice the last two verses of chapter 14, 30 and 31. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. Then we go to chapter 15 in the book of Exodus. We see here the Israelites sang the song of redemption. That was wonderful. But in 3 days, yes, 3 days later, instead of trusting God, what were they doing? They were murmuring and complaining about the bitter waters of Marah. And so God supplied Moses with a tree, which made the bitter waters of Marah sweet. Verses 1 through 19 there in 15, you can read that, and 20 through 22 and 20 through 25. But notice 25b, Moses said, there he made an ordinance and there he proved them. Yes, God proved His people. God gave the Israelites a stern warning there in verse 26, still here in chapter 15. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Remember the 10 plagues that God brought against Egypt. Well, the Israelites were to remember that. They didn't want to have that brought upon them. So they needed to heed God's commandments, to keep all His statutes. That's right. And now as we come to chapter 16, we find the Israelites murmuring again. After 1 month out of Egypt, as you notice in chapter 16, 1 through 3, and they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin. Well, that's a fitting name, which is between Elim and Sinai. on the 15th day of the second month after their departing after the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Well, did we see what happened to God's people? They lost faith. They were witnessing the 10 plagues. They witnessed the sea of the Red Sea parting, crossing safely. Why were they so impatient? We've got to have it right now. We can't wait. God did not punish them at this time, but he showed them mercy, as you see in verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them. There it is again. God proves his people, whether they will walk in my law or no. Are they going to do my will or not? God's going to find out. Here is how the inspired psalmist Asaph described the manna God gave them from heaven, Psalm 78:24-25. And had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to full. Yes, they had meat to full. And notice verse 31 of Exodus 16. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Boy, that sounds good, doesn't it? Well, they were taken care of, in other words, by God's miraculously furnishing them manna from heaven. Well, let's discuss this. What does it mean to prove something, or someone in this case? It means to test, examine, to see whether a thing or a person is genuine or not, to approve, deem worthy. So, how did God prove his people? We note that God proved the Israelites by giving them his commands to obey and trials to overcome. There in 15:25 and 16:4. And thus God tested his children to determine the validity of their faith. Having heard God's commands and witnessing God's power in their deliverance, they should have trusted God, even though they were hungry and thirsty for a short time. That's right. Notice what God, through Moses, said to the Israelites at Mount Sinai. Fear not. For God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your eyes, that you sin not. Exodus 20, verse 20. And on the east side of Jordan, before the second generation entered the promised land, as the first generation had died out, being unfaithful, except for Joshua and Caleb, the two spies that gave a positive report, not like the others, as they were all negative. We don't remember their names, do we? But here on the east side of Jordan, notice, as God said through Moses, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee. That's what we're talking about. To know what is in thy heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Yes, Deuteronomy 8, 1 and 2 is the passage we just read. And notice chapter 13 of Deuteronomy, verse 3, Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. God proveth you. There it is. So then, after the Israelites entered the promised land, the angels of the Lord said, and this is Judges chapter 2, 21 and 22, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel. Yes, there it is again. Whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. Are they going to keep it or not? Yes, they're going to be proved. Some of the pagan nations were left to prove Israel. Judges 3, 1 through 4 also. And notice the psalmist, Psalm 66, 10, as he declared, "For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried." You have to burn off the impurities. And so God has established an environment that is ideal for his purpose of soul making. That is, God supplies for our physical needs. He allows us to have free moral agency. We can choose to obey God or disobey God. And this environment allows us to seek, to learn, and to obey the truth, to have salvation of our sins and the hope of eternal life, which is far more important than temporal physical things. Of course it is. And it allows us to be challenged, yes, to be proven by overcoming trials, tribulations, and of course temptation. Satan is going to tempt us in those three avenues, as he did with Eve: lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, just as he did with Christ, Matthew 4. No, God does not tempt us, but Satan certainly does. James 1:13, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth" what? Death. That's right. Now, how does God prove his people today? To prove his children in the Lord's church? Well, as we've just seen, God certainly proved his people in the Old Testament through their obedience to his commands under the law of Moses, as well as their trials and temptations, whether they would obey or not, as we've certainly emphasized that. So today, God proves Christians through obedience as well to his commands, but under the law of Christ. We're not under the law of Moses, certainly not. That was nailed to the cross, Colossians 2:14. And, of course, our trials, tribulations, and temptations are going to be a part of that proving as well. Now, what the inspired Apostle Peter wrote to Christians in the first century will certainly apply to all of us today in the Lord's church. 1 Peter 1, notice with me verses 6 and 7. "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations," many temptations, "that the trial of your faith," that's right, trial of your faith, "being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing," yes, "the appearing of Jesus Christ." Now, as you study Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, you'll see how to have love of life and see good days, even during the most difficult times. We had a sermon on that this last Lord's Day here at Morgan Street. And we mentioned that Christ is our example as he suffered and how he dealt with suffering and trials and temptation. We need to follow in his footsteps. Peter, 1 Peter again, chapter 2, 21 through 25. And as you see in chapter 4, verses 12 through 19, that's a good study on how to be happy and full of joy despite all the difficulties in life. Now, how do we, let's all ask ourselves this question, how do we respond to peer pressure from family, friends, neighbors, co-workers, fellow students, and even brethren who are not grounded in the truth? Do we give in to the pressure? How do we respond to suffering? Do we grow closer to God or further away? You see, this is how we can be proved today, whether we're doing the will of God or not. Do we look for that way of escape when tempted? 1 Corinthians 10:13. In order to be approved of God, we must study God's Word, obey the gospel of Christ, and be a workman that handles rightly God's Word, 2 Timothy 2:15, Romans 6:17. We are to stay with that form of doctrine that God has given us. Now, what we cannot prove by the Bible, we must be willing to give up. That's right. Can we prove by the Scriptures what we teach and practice in religion? If we cannot, we better change our religion. For sure. Let's heed the inspired Apostle Paul's admonition, 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. That's right. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Are we willing to ask God as David did? Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Psalm 26:2. Can we say as Job did? Job 23:10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Are we understanding the situation here as we live out our Christian lives? We're not going to have a rose garden all the time. There's going to be some thorns in our lives. How are we going to deal with those thorns? You see, depends on whether we are really faithful or not. And this is God enabling us to be proved as to his faithful children or unfaithful. Yes, just as we saw in the Old Testament, how many, you see, murmured and complained? The majority. We can't go along with the majority. What's going on today? We're going to go away from God if we go with the multitude to do evil. We've got to stand for the truth. Stay with what's right. The Word of God enables us to know the way to heaven through Christ. He is the only way. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So there's not many ways to heaven, as so many think. There's only one. And if we don't know the teaching of Christ, his doctrine, how then can we expect God to save us? Just because we're sincere, because we believe. The devils believe and tremble. They're not going to be saved. You see, we must do the will of God. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 7:21. Just calling out, Lord, Lord, is not going to get it. It involves obedience to do God's will, does it not? Well, of course it does. So we need to be sure that we are staying faithful during the most difficult times. It's trying. Yes, and it's going to get more difficult, probably, before it gets better, unless the Lord comes again, and we should be looking forward to that, rejoicing in that situation if we're found faithful. And so, as we've discussed this morning, God proves His children in the Old Testament and in the New Testament under the law of Christ. We want to come out like gold. The ore goes through the fire and the impurities are burned off. We have those trials and temptations, tribulations in life. That's burning off the impurities as we stay faithful to God, no matter what happens. We're prepared to die if necessary for being a Christian, if we're being proven in that situation. We're certainly, like Job said, I shall come forth as gold. So even if he killed me, Job was going to stay faithful to God no matter what. We need to be with that same mindset. And so as we close out our study this morning, and again, we want to continue this Lord willing next Lord's Day, as how God's grace provided the gift of manna, but obedience was required to receive it. The same is true today with salvation. Yes, it's a gift of God. No man can earn it. No one deserves the death of Christ. That's meritorious works. But we must do something in order to obtain the gift, and that is obey the gospel. That starts by hearing the truth. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Now, the next step is to believe that Jesus is the Christ. The evidence is there, and no one should deny that, John 8:24. Except ye believe that I am He, shall die in your sins. Now, the next step is repentance, making a change of wills and doing the will of God. We're going to turn around and go in a new way of life, the right way, God's way. And thus, we change our will to do God's will. Luke 13:3-5, I tell you nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. After repentance comes confession, making a statement. And this statement is showing that we believe Christ is the only begotten Son of God, because that's what we're going to say. I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Now that's the good confession, as the Ethiopian eunuch did before being baptized. Acts chapter 8. So Romans 10:9-10. So once we've made the good confession, now we're ready to be immersed into the watery grave. That's a burial where we contact the precious blood of Christ that washes away our sins. We come up out of the water to walk in newness of life. Read Romans 6:3-6. We thank you so much for listening today.